welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
This morning in the Gospel of John, where Jesus is revealing something about himself to his disciples. And as we look at it, I think we're going to see something very significant about Jesus in terms of where he is from. He tells us, Jesus said to his disciples, "I'm going away, and you will seek me, and will die in your..." Or this is not to his disciples, rather, this is to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, whatnot. He says, Jesus said to them again, "I'm going away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come." So the Jews said, "Will he kill himself because he says, 'Where I go, you cannot come'?" Then he said to them, "You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world." Okay? So he's telling, telling the Jews at the time, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, who are rejecting Jesus, you know, very clearly, he's saying that I am not of this world. And of course, we got done celebrating Christmas last month, where we celebrated the fact that, you know, the Bible says God became a man. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us in that person of Jesus, his natural birth on the earth, where we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was not from this world, though. He came from heaven, and he came to this world, and he's letting him know that. Now Jesus is about to talk to his disciples, and he tells his disciples this. He says, "I have given them your word. I have given them your word." He's actually praying to the Father. "I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. For they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." Wow. So we knew that Jesus was not of the world, of course. But in his prayer to the Father, he goes on to say, "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." Okay? And that's a pretty interesting thought, pretty interesting concept, that we are not of the world just as Jesus is not of the world. What did he mean by that? We are not of the world just as he is not. We know that he's not of the world. We know that he was in the beginning with the Father. The Word was God, and with God, and he dwelt among us, became flesh. So we see that clearly. But he goes on to say that just as I am not of the world, they are not of the world either. And this is a very powerful, important truth. You know, as we want to get technical as far as life outside of this world, I just took this right off Wikipedia, extraterrestrial life. The Latin words extra, or beyond, or not of, the terrestris, or of belonging to earth, is defined as life that does not originate from earth. It is often also referred to as alien life or simply aliens. These hypothetical forms of life range from simple bacteria-like organisms to beings far more complex than humans. And of course, as we've watched all of our sci-fi stuff, Star Wars, Star Trek, E.T., or Close Encounters of the Third Kind, that's the stuff I guess I grew up with in the 70s and the 80s, but we kind of all can conjure up in our mind images of aliens and life that is not from this world. But, you know, as you look at what Jesus said and you look at the technical definition of really what an extraterrestrial life is or an alien life is, it's going to really be the premise of the message for this morning, which is, I believe in aliens. I believe in aliens. And hopefully, by the end of this message, you will believe in aliens too. So, aliens. That's a really powerful concept. Again, we think of Jesus as not being of this world, but he prayed that we are not of this world, even as he is not of this world. And so what does that mean? aliens. Well, the first part of just aliens, I believe in aliens, the first aspect of it is that I believe that there are, I believe in alien beings, that they really actually do exist. And as we look at aliens, alien life, things that are not of this world, we're going to take a look at something Jesus said that's very powerful as far as what happens to us as believer, when we become believers. Jesus was talking to a guy named Nicodemus who had some questions for Jesus. He knew that Jesus was a powerful man, but he still didn't quite understand who Jesus was. And so Jesus answered, he said to Nicodemus, he said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Okay? And so, you know, Nicodemus, you know, is coming to Jesus. He's got his questions. And it's really important to see what Jesus tells Nicodemus. He says, "Most assuredly," in verse 3, "unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, when we talk about God and faith and religion and all that stuff down here, we kind of talk about it in terms of what you have to do to go to heaven or something like that. You know, and Jesus is talking about what it takes to see and enter the kingdom of God, verse 5. You know, unless you're born of the water and the Spirit, which is that new birth he's talking about, you can't enter the kingdom of God. And so when we have that discussion down here again, we say, what do you got to do to go to heaven? What is it that I've got to do? And a lot of times we'll hear people say, well, you got to get religion. You got to join a church. You got to do something to be able to get the access to enter into heaven. Now, Jesus, though, doesn't tell Nicodemus that he's got to do something. He basically says, Nicodemus, something has got to happen to you. There's a difference. He wasn't saying, Nicodemus, you got to join the church. Nicodemus, you got it. He said, unless one is born again. He said, you must be born again. You've got to be born again. Something has to happen to you. Something has to happen to you. That's a different concept. I'm used to kind of having to do something. I'm going to have to do something to earn something to be able to get what I want to get. And Jesus just completely turns that paradigm around. He said, no, it's not that you got to do something. He says, something's got to happen to you. Something's got to happen to you. Right now, Nicodemus, he's just born of the flesh. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. See, right now, Nicodemus is just a flesh-born person. He's not an alien yet. He's still from here. And Jesus is saying, if you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven, something is going to happen to you. You're going to get born again. And as we look at, kind of drill down a little bit and look at some understanding of what Jesus meant by this, got to be born again, born again. What does that mean, Jesus, born again? We see a passage here in John where he explains it a little bit more. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, John says, "But as many as received him," receiving Jesus, "to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Born of God. We're talking about that second birth. Actually, that second birth that Jesus was talking about. We understand the natural birth. No, we're not talking about going the second time into the mother's womb. We're talking about a completely different kind of birth. We understand there's a physical, natural birth that makes you from here. But there's another birth that makes you not from here. And that is a birth that takes place when somebody simply receives the Lord Jesus Christ. We preach the message of the gospel, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, that he took upon himself everything that we ever did wrong, and simply by receiving him, hearing that good news, believing it, seeing it, and embracing it, something happens. Something happens to me, right? Isn't that what John said? He said, as many as who believe in his name, who were born not of blood nor of the will of flesh, but of God. So when I receive him, when I believe in that message, something happens to me on the inside. I'm born again. I'm born, not a natural birth. Obviously, like Nicodemus said, it's not that second time. It is a supernatural, spiritual rebirth on the inside that makes me not of this world, even as he is not of this world. Your natural birth makes you of this world. Your second birth makes you not of this world. There is something unique and different about you. Let's take another look at what Peter says about the same experience, all right? Jesus said it one way. John describes it another way. Now Peter's going to describe the same experience. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Amplified says, you've been regenerated, born again, not from mortal origin, seed, sperm, but from one that is immortal by the ever-living and everlasting word of God. Okay, that's the way Peter describes what happened to you on the inside. There was really a new birth of your human spirit, okay? And that's the thing that we've got to understand. There's more to us than meets the eye. You are not just skin deep. There is something bigger and more significant about you than this physical body. It's your very spiritual being. You are a spiritual being. It's one of the things that, you know, it causes you, and let me kind of think of it this way. If I was to lose a part of my limbs, I would still be the whole person I am on the inside. I'd still be at house. You know, my being isn't defined by this physical body. This physical body just gives me expression in the earth. This physical body is like the car that my spirit drives, okay? But this is not the real me. This is decaying. It's getting old. It's just the house that I'm living in. The Apostle Paul once said, you know, I know that if this tent were destroyed, I have a home in the heavens, right? We like to say it sometimes this way. I'm a spirit being. I have a soul and I live in a body. I'm a spiritual being. I'm living in this place. But that's the part of me that became brand new. Now, we looked at the way Jesus said it. We looked at the way John said it. We looked at the way Peter said it. Now, Paul is going to describe the same experience in a whole nother beautiful, powerful light. Paul puts it this way. He says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Say the first birth, the natural birth. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, here it is, if anyone is in Christ, you can say born again, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amplified, same verse. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old, previous, moral, spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. Okay? This is where we're talking about a supernatural birth, a supernatural rebirth, where on the inside, the old spiritual self dies and the new spiritual self comes. You're brand new in Christ. You're born again. You're not just born again for a theology or a religion of being born again. It's a real experience that happens to you on the inside. You become a brand new person on the inside. It's a real amazing miracle. And when we look at it that way, we also begin to see, too, and understand more that there is, as we're born again, that there is that push and pull. Because even though I'm born again on the inside, I'm not born again on the outside. I've still got the same old body with the same appetites and desires and passions and things that are not right in line with God. That didn't become new. Body stayed the same. It's my spirit that became new. And so we see this wrestling match. Even though I'm new on the inside and I desire things of God, yet there's still another battle going here out in my body. And so there's this push and pull and back and forth. But that battle doesn't change the fact that I am new on the inside. I have become a new creation on the inside, brand new. In fact, the Apostle Paul goes as far to say this, for our citizenship is in heaven from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he's able even to subdue all things to himself. In other words, the Apostle Paul is saying two things. He's saying, yeah, actually, our citizenship, your eternal citizenship is in heaven. You're down, you know, your U.S. citizenship is a very temporary thing. Your heavenly citizenship is eternal. That's where your citizenship is. You have a, when you were born again, you have a new birth certificate. Your birth certificate says heaven. That's where you're really born from, on the inside. And he goes on to say, one day these bodies that are fighting us, that are giving us the trouble right now, even these bodies are going to be conformed, transformed, you know, unto his glorious body. And as we read about Jesus, he had a glorious body. When he was raised from the dead, it was a supernatural, glorious body. One day, our bodies are not going to be fighting us anymore. We'll get a brand new body that'll be in harmony with our brand new spirit, okay? But for now, we've kind of got that fight on our hands. Right now, we got to deal with that. But it's important to, just because your body's, you know, your body has a voice, doesn't it? It'll tell you when it's hungry. You know, it'll tell you when it's tired. It talks to you, you know? And because we still have the body that hasn't been transformed yet, it'll still talk a lot of sinful desires and things like that. And if we're not careful, we'll listen to the voice of our body and think, well, that's who I am. No, that's not who you are. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You were born again. You were born again. This is really, really important in understanding who we are in Christ and our understanding, our ability to overcome those things that are coming against us and to not be intimidated by our body. But it's important to understand, we are alien beings. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. And these new creations were not from here. They're born, like Peter said, you were born again through the word of God. Okay, it's not a natural birth. It's a supernatural, spiritual birth and something that took place on the inside of you. And now your actual citizenship as a result of this new birth is heaven. Now, here's something that's kind of interesting too. When you hear the Apostle Paul, sometimes you read this book, and this is the thing that you got to understand. This book was not written to a natural man. This book, this New Testament, was written to new creations in Christ Jesus. As you read these words, you begin to find out that, you know what? That's really cool. I'm new on the inside, but all of a sudden, not only am I new on the inside, but God is going to have me think like a new creation, act like a new creation. In fact, the Apostle Paul, in one place, when he's talking to the Corinthians, he actually kind of has a little bit of a jab, you know, and I think it's a little bit of a jab that he's, we'll kind of go ahead and read. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able, for you're still carnal, where there's envy and strife and divisions among you. Are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For one says, I'm of Paul. Another, I'm of Apollos. Are you not carnal?" Okay? What is he saying? That you're acting, you're talking, you're behaving like mere men. Let's take a look at that in the Amplified verse 3. It says, "For you're still unspiritual, having the nature of the flesh under the control of ordinary impulses, as long as there are envy and jealous and wrangling factions among you, are you not unspiritual and of the flesh, behaving yourselves after a human standard and like mere unchanged men?" New Living says, "For are you still controlled by your own sinful desires? Are you jealous of one another and quarrel with each other? Doesn't that prove that you are controlled by your own desires? You're acting like people who don't belong to the Lord." Now, this is really interesting because a lot of times we think of living right or godly living and associating that with, you know, kind of a moral code, and I'm trying to attain something. But you got to understand the way the Apostle Paul writes this. He says in verse 3, it's like, "Are you not carnal, behaving like mere men?" Behaving like mere men. In other words, what the Apostle Paul is saying, we are not mere men, okay? Mere men act like this. Mere men fight and, you know, have the envying and the jealousy and the wrangling. Now, again, we've got a body. We get these pulls, but he said we're not mere men. That's a pretty powerful thing. Now, if I was a mere man, then that would be natural behavior, normal behavior. But the fact that he talks to you, he's actually talking to you above that. And he's saying, you are not mere men. You are created. You're a new creation. You have the ability to live a higher life in God. You know, I think, you know, when I read this, I chuckle a little bit because, you know, a lot of times when you say something, you know, he's probably thinking like, you're behaving like mere men. And he's thinking, well, yeah, that's what I am, a mere man. And he's saying, no, you're something bigger. You're something, there's something more powerful in your life. You know, you don't have to give in to these things. And as we are, even as we come face to face with some of this stuff in our life, and we think, you know, I got to forgive. There's just something in our whole being that says it's not natural to forgive. And it's not natural to forgive. It's not natural to forgive. It's supernatural to forgive. It's not natural to trust God. It's not natural to just let your request be made known to God, just to pray about things and cast your cares on Him. That's not natural. It's not natural to show love. It's not natural to turn the other cheek. These aren't written to natural people. They're written to supernatural people. They're written to people that are born again. They're written to people that are living in a different way. They're living a different kind of a life. So alien beings. These alien beings are people who have been born again, born of the Spirit. But not only that, but we believe in alien intelligence, okay? And this is where I think it kind of dovetails, because we find that the way, and again, you kind of go back to the movies and different things like that, you've got different forms of alien intelligence, different codes and ways that aliens will communicate and whatnot, but we find out that not only has God made us brand new creatures in Christ Jesus, He's made us new on the inside, but He has supernatural ways of intelligence, ways that He communicates with us down here. And as we look at it, we're going to just take a look at some scripture here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul said, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For the Jews request a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord." What is the Apostle Paul saying here? He's saying, look, the intelligence that you are going to have is not going to be an IQ-oriented intelligence. In fact, the people that are getting it are not the what you would call the intellectual elite of the day, 2,000 years ago, and it's certainly not the intellectual elite of our day either that get it, that hear the message of the cross. We see two different kinds of people. The Apostle Paul said, you know, somebody is looking for, you know, we preach the message of the cross. It's foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it's the power of God. You got one group that's looking for wisdom. You got another group that's looking for power, but God is wisdom. God is power. And he goes on to just say, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. And so the way God has set this up is that your ability to get this knowledge does not come through your intellect. It doesn't come through your IQ. It's going to come through a humility of your heart. You're going to hear some things. You're going to pick up things. You know, when you look at Jesus in his day, there was one point where he looked up to heaven and he said, "I thank you, Father, you've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and you have revealed them unto babes." So when we're talking about alien intelligence, it doesn't function like natural intelligence. It's an intelligence that we get from him, that we get by his word, that we get by his spirit, but it's found in the humility of a person, in the humility of a human heart. And let's take a look at one other. Take a look at another. I know I'm giving you a lot of scripture this morning, but I just want to kind of build a good scriptural foundation as I kind of delve into it a little bit more. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 6 to 8, he goes on to say, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. For none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And so here again, we're kind of finding out that God has given us his Spirit. You know, we've received the Spirit, not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who's from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. In other words, the way alien intelligence works is by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit communicates this knowledge to us. And it is an amazing thing. There are people who can have, from a natural standpoint, a low IQ, intelligence quotient. They could come from a low strata. You could look at a person in the natural and think, oh, I know them, I locate them, I know what they know, I know the way they think. I'm, you know, obviously a very caste and social. But that person can absolutely know supernatural, powerful things of the Spirit and function in a plane that is far beyond any natural human intellect. In fact, again, Jesus said, you've revealed these to the babes. You've hidden them from the wise and the prudent. You've revealed it unto babes. And so God has the ability by the Holy Spirit to show us things, to give us understanding. You know, one of the big ways that God communicates to us is by the Word of God, by the written Word of God. And as we look at the Bible, you know, it's basically, we get the Old Testament, the New Testament. Of course, the New Testament is when Jesus came. He died on the cross for our sins, the new covenant that we have with God. And as we look at this New Testament, we see the Gospels, the story of the Lord Jesus Christ in the earth, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Then we've got the book of Acts, which is kind of a history overview of the church. And then after the book of Acts, we've got all these little epistles, all these little letters that are written instructions given to me and to you in the church. Within these epistles, you know, the whole Bible is good. We feed on the whole Word of God. But as you target these epistles, these little letters that were written, you find a lot of instruction for your life, a lot of guidance. And that's really a place that we as believers want to live in these Acts, Corinthians, Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Thessalonians. In these little books, you find packed with alien intelligence, intelligence that's not from this world, intelligence, instruction, which might just look basic, that might look simple, but it is profound. It is spiritual. It is powerful. And, you know, I remember seeing a movie, boy, man, years and years ago, probably back in the early 80s, called The Gods Must Be Crazy, if you remember that one when it came out. But kind of the premise was these guys were flying over in a helicopter, kind of over these native lands, and they got done with, a guy got done with, I think, his Coke bottle and finished the Coke and just kind of threw the bottle out the window. And that Coke bottle falls into this tribe that has never, you know, never really experienced modern civilization. So first of all, they kind of hear that helicopter and they think the gods are visiting them because they just hear that sound, that loud noise, and all of a sudden, you know, it's like, wow, the gods are here. And all of a sudden that Coke bottle comes out of the sky and they think, wow, the gods gave us this Coke bottle. It's really amazing. And so at first when they see this glass thing, they're all excited about it. They think this is really incredible. And they begin to play with it. They begin to blow in it. They find out, wow, this is an instrument. God gave us this beautiful instrument that we can make sounds in. You know, and then all of a sudden, you know, the women would take it, and all of a sudden they could pound their meal and the wheat and grind it, and it was a useful tool, you know, for being able to make, you know, food. So it was very powerful in that respect, too. And, you know, the kids were having fun. They were throwing it around, and so it was like a toy for the kids. And people were just so amazed at this cool, awesome gift that the gods gave them, enthralled. But one day, as they were enjoying it and playing with it, they began to fight over it and fight over who should have it. And lo and behold, one day one of the natives conked the other native over the head with the Coke bottle and kind of knocked him out. And all of a sudden they got very confused and thought, wow, here this thing the gods gave us that was meant to be good, all of a sudden it seems to be a form of death and pain. And so they were very scared of this gift all of a sudden. And so this one little guy, his mission, kind of throughout the whole movie then, is to find the edge of the earth to throw the Coke bottle off of and return it back to the gods. So the premise is the gods must be crazy. Why would they give us this thing? And as I looked at that funny little movie about those concepts of, you know, how man perceives things and how he interprets things, it kind of made me remind me a lot of what we'd call the Coke bottle of the Word of God. God has supernaturally given us his words. In fact, the Bible says that these words are God-breathed, supernaturally came. This book is not of this world either. This book was written and penned down by men, but it was inspired by God. They wrote as they were inspired by the Spirit of God. So again, this is alien intelligence. It came to us by the Spirit of God. And as we look at this book and as we read this book, we can see amazing things. We can see, number one, the gospel of Jesus. The good news that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. We see a book here where God loves you, where he calls you to come unto his side when you're heavy laden. You'll find rest for your souls. We see this word of God used in a way that breathes and ministers life to people, in a way that actually lifts them up and builds them up. But then we can see people take the same Bible and actually beat somebody up with the same Bible that was meant and designed to lead us into a place of understanding God. And you might see somebody take a verse out of the Bible and condemn a person, and you're going to hell if you don't do this, this, and this. And all of a sudden you're living under a condemnation. I'm not good enough, I can't. Same Bible. Just taking some verses out. But you know, you got to rightly divide the word of truth. You know, you can make the Bible say whatever you want it to say, but you can't make the Bible say what the Spirit originally intended it to say. You can't make it. You got to listen, you got to pray, you got to read, and the Spirit of God in you, praise God, reveals to you what this word means. See, that's the cool thing of it is when you're born again, not only is your spirit brand new, but now the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you, the author of this book. And you may have said for years, I can't understand the Bible, I can't understand the Bible, I can't. When you get born again, when the Spirit comes to live on the inside of you, you can understand the Bible because the one who authored this book lives in you. And when you begin to read this book and things become clear, the Spirit of God will show you on the inside. He'll witness to truth. He'll show you. He'll make clear what scriptures mean. But again, this book, again, is a lot like that Coke bottle where people will say, man, good things have been done with it. Bad things have been done with it. This is confusing. Let's just throw it off the edge of the earth. Let's just forget about it. And we can't forget about it. We can't return this to God. Even though bad things have been done, what do we need to do? We need to realize this is our book. This is our guidebook. I've got the Holy Spirit in me. And yes, I don't know it all. I'm not going to ever know it all on this side. But man, there's a lot of truth. There's a lot of answers that I'm looking for that are right here. They are right here within these pages. And I've got the Holy Spirit, as I'm reading these words, will just bring to light and bring to life the truth of these words. It's an amazing thing how it works. But as you begin to spend time in the Word of God, you spend time, you know, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit will begin to preach little sermons to you. Even as I'm preaching right now, the Spirit of God is in you, showing you, talking to you about stuff and connecting dots in your own heart and mind. There's a little sermon that the Holy Spirit preaches in you that is not what I'm preaching right now. And that same dynamic action happens when you're reading the Word of God too. You're reading those words, but the Holy Spirit is all of a sudden preaching a little sermon on the inside of you. It's because you have that alien life of the Holy Spirit, that life that's not up from here. He's in your human spirit, and he's showing you things to come. There is an alien intelligence. It's not found in a decoder ring in a natural sense, but there is a decoding that takes place that happens by the power of the Holy Spirit as you're seeking God. You know, the Apostle Paul put it this way in Colossians. He said, "The mystery which has been hidden from ages and generations, but now has been revealed to his saints, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." That's a wonderful, beautiful, hidden mystery. For I want you to know what great conflict I have for you those in Laodicea, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance and understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. You know, so what is he saying? The treasures of wisdom and knowledge, they're hidden in Christ. That's where they are. That's where you are. In other words, God has that wisdom in you. It's hidden in you. Finally, Luke 10:21, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in his spirit, and he said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven, that you've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and you've revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight." And so as we're talking about alien intelligence, you got to realize that there is wisdom in God that is in you. And as you begin to really spend time in his word, begin to read his word, begin to pray, there's an intelligence that you will tap into, if you will. There is an intelligence that is not your own. And let me just kind of put it this way, too. When we're talking about spiritual things, we're talking about praying, we're talking about the word of God and things like that, these aren't things that we're looking for natural inspiration to do. In other words, as I'm really seeking God and direction in my life, I'm not looking for a gooey feeling to do something that's spiritual. These are things that I'm going to do by faith. These are things that I'm going to just, by faith, set my mind on things above. By faith, spend time in the Word of God. Let me be really clear about this. When you choose to spend time, you know, going to headquarters and saying, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to spend some time in your word," you will probably naturally not feel anything really spectacular. But it will feed your spirit. It'll feed that man on the inside, that new creation. That new creation, that man on the inside that is brand new, feeds on these words, is strengthened by these words. So when you feed yourself and you're looking for the words, the knowledge of God, it'll strengthen you. But this is something you're going to do by faith. Okay? I'm getting that alien intelligence by faith. I'm getting that understanding. What I'm doing is I'm really just plugging in where the scripture says, set your mind on things above. I'm doing this by faith. I'm not doing it, again, for an emotional experience. I'm doing it by faith because really, ultimately, you know, I'm not trying to, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. You know, inspiration doesn't make you free. Inspiration makes you feel good for a little bit, and then it's over. But the truth will make you free. When you begin to see truth in the Word of God, and it's not what so-and-so thinks or so-and-so believes, but you see it's in the Word of God, and the Spirit of God shows you that it's true, things begin to happen. You begin to know things for sure. It's not arrogance. It's not cockiness. It's not intellectual IQ. It's knowledge by the Spirit of God. It's supernatural. When Jesus told his disciples, he asked his disciples, he said, "Who do men say that I am?" And all of a sudden they began to take inventory of the worldly answers that we still get today. "Well, you're a good man, you're a good teacher, you're a prophet, you're da 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 da." But then Peter had the answer. He said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's a powerful statement. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you know what Jesus said? He said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah." He said, "Blessed are you." He said, "Because flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father who's in heaven." He didn't even say, "Blessed are you because you got the right answer." He had the right answer, but he was rejoicing over Peter's, even over something bigger than getting the right answer, how he got the answer. He was rejoicing over the fact that he didn't get it through me. He got it supernaturally by the Spirit of God. And that's how we still get answers. And when you get those answers by the Spirit of God, it is not natural wisdom. It is supernatural alien intelligence, and it's real. It's what the Bible calls revelation, where things are revealed to you. It's a powerful truth when you can hear something your whole life, and all of a sudden, the 231st time, wow, that's true. I remember the whole reality of the new creation. I mean, that verse we read about earlier today, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation, the old's passed away, the whole world's become new. I'd heard that over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. I thought, yeah, that's really cool. That'd be really neat. It's amazing. It's kind of out here in theoretical la-la land. But when the Spirit of God makes it real to you, your whole identity on the inside, your whole sense of who you are changes. You treat yourself differently when you realize that it's true. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old's passed away, behold, all has become new. Again, that can be emotionally inspiring, but the inspiration of that verse doesn't do really anything for me long term. It's the truth of that verse that makes me free. It's when I believe it's true. I believe I'm new. Yeah, still dealing with stuff, but I believe I'm new on the inside. It's hard for the enemy to condemn you, to trick you, to intimidate you, because you know you're new on the inside. You know you're a child of God. You know that. There's a confidence that you have from knowing the revelation of that. And like to tell my story is, the Bible says, lay aside the weights and the sins that so easily beset you. And I was just kind of bumming, one day just kind of walking around in the condemnation of my mind, having sinned and missed something. Have you ever had a problem with the same thing more than once? If you have to go back to God more. Those are the ones that so easily beset you. Well, I was dealing with one of those things that easily beset me. And I was just thinking, oh, man, sorry, Lord. I guess this is just who I am. And the Spirit of God, praise God, for the alien life of the precious Holy Spirit of God, said, that is not who you are. You are a new creation. And all of a sudden in my mind, I saw this. This is like one of my first earliest spiritual experiences that I had. When he said, that is not who you are. All of a sudden I saw something with the eyes of my spirit, okay? When I'm saying it's like a little vision, it's not something I saw with these eyes. It was like a picture. You know how God can put a thought in your mind that, wow, I didn't think that up. That was a thought. God gave me, he showed me something. God can do that with pictures too. He can give you a picture in your mind that's like, wow, cool. Well, as the Spirit of God said, no, that's not who you are, Ed. All of a sudden I saw a picture. And I could see the picture of the new creation. And I could see in my heart, in my mind's eye, I am a brand new person. I'm born again. What Jesus said had to happen to Nicodemus did happen to me. I am a new creation. I am a new creation. And then the Spirit of God spoke something to me. And he said, that thought, that temptation, those things, you'll notice it came at you from the outside. That's very profound. When you're dealing with stuff, it's coming at you from the outside, and you have to let it in. But it's not who you are. You are a new creation. Again, I'd heard that verse for probably 6 months preached every day in a certain series that I was listening to at the time. But in that moment of time, all of a sudden, that became revelation. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Yes, I'm dealing with stuff. Yes, I'm growing up spiritually, but I am a child of God right now. I am a child of God right now. That's revelation. It's truth. This is alien intelligence that you're going to get by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God. You're not going to get it from natural men, not from natural reasoning. In fact, as we looked at some of our scriptures here this morning, we find out, the Spirit of God was given to us that we may know. Now we've received the Spirit of God, the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been given to us freely by God. In other words, the purpose of getting the Spirit of God in us was so that he could show us the things that God gave us. He can make that clear to us. God uses a preacher on a Sunday morning. He uses a pastor. He uses your time in the Word, all these different things. But ultimately, it's not what I'm saying. It's what the Holy Spirit is showing you on the inside, making revealing truth to you as I'm speaking, as you're reading, as you're worshiping. These things the Spirit of God is revealing to you and showing you. Now, you'll see verse 14, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. So when the natural man, we'd say, makes fun of mock spiritual things, that's what they're supposed to do. It would be weird if they didn't, because you've got to be a spiritual person to understand and discern this stuff. He says, He can't know him because they're spiritually discerned. He was spiritual, judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. So there's that spiritual life, being born again, being a new creation in Christ Jesus, having the Holy Spirit in you, gives you the ability to discern and to judge things spiritually. And then finally, I believe in alien assignments, okay? We are an alien being. We have alien knowledge, but it doesn't stop there. What is it, the old On a Mission from God? It was some 70s movies. I forget what it was. Somebody's on... Blues Brothers. Okay, thank you. Somebody's on a mission from God. All right. Who said that? No. Dave. Okay, Dave Christensen. No. All right. The Blues Brothers. Yes. Thank you, Dave. On a Mission from God. You know, again, that's kind of a foolishness thing. It's like, oh, who do we think we are? We're on a mission from God. But you know what? You are on a mission from God. You are down here. Was Jesus on a mission from God? Would it be safe to say that Jesus was on a mission from God? Yeah, he was God. He is God. But not only is he on a mission from God, he said, you know, even as the Father has sent me, so I send you. So not only was Jesus on a mission from God, but we're on a mission from God too. And as we look at that concept of the new birth and the fact that you're a new person in Christ, it doesn't stop there. We're going to put the microscope even a little bit closer in on that new creation, and we're going to find something else. He says here, for we are his workmanship. This is the Apostle Paul writing. He says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The Amplified says, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. What is he saying here? God has a plan for your life in that new creation, in the DNA, if you will, of that brand new person that's on the inside of you, are good works that God has ordained you to walk in. And this is, you know, probably the biggest heart cry. I think I saw it in a USA Today once. Was if you could ask God one question, what would it be? And the overwhelming winner of that question is, why am I here? Why am I here on this planet of, what now, 7+ billion people? What's my significance? Why am I here? The answer is right there. When you get born again, when you receive Christ, when you receive the gift of your Savior, the gift of mercy and grace, you become born again. Not only that, but you begin to find out, wow, there's good works he's ordained me to walk in. And as you begin to have fellowship with him, you got all that into alien intelligence stuff that we just got done talking about. Within that, you begin to find out things that he'll have you to do. In fact, the scripture says in Philippians, being confident of this very thing, he has begun a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Amplified, not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectively working in you, energizing, creating in you the power and desire, both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. So what are we saying? God gives you that ability. He gives you the desire. And within that is really the plan that God has for your life. Another way of looking at it, we kind of looked at this one, I believe, last week, 1 Corinthians 12:18, for God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. But as it is, God has placed, arranged the limbs and organs of the body, each particular one of them, just as he wished and saw fit with the best adaptation. In other words, we're the body of Christ. We're a body with many members. And he gave us a specific member. He gave us a specific place in the body, which means he's got a specific plan and purpose for our lives. And then finally, Jesus said, came and spoke and saying, all authority has been given to me, heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. It's our commission to go forth, what you could say, your alien assignment. And then I'm going to kind of skip ahead to finally Hebrews, where it says, these all died. This is talking about the kind of what we call the faith hall of fame. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had been called to mind the country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. talking about people of faith that have gone before us. What did they have? What did it say? They confessed they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. They were, in other words, they were aliens. They weren't really from here. They were seeking something better. They were seeking that homeland, that heavenly country, you know, and that is that fire that was on the inside of them. It's really to be on the inside of each one of us. You know, this time down here, it is so limited. It is tiny. It's just amazing how quickly it goes. I got a, I think I brought it with me here. I got one of these things in the mail, and the first thing I saw in it was, "Happy birthday, Mr. House." I thought, wow, that's interesting. My birthday isn't until October. 9 months off. And so I look at it. "Welcome and register your AARP membership now." Well, I'm turning 50 this October. And I thought, wow, life is a vapor, you know, guys, wow. I'm glad I'm not from here, you know. But, you know, it's one of those things where, all these benefits. I'm thinking, man, at least let me, you know, turn 50. But just the reality that, we're getting older on the outside. But, you know, the Bible says, even though our outward man perishes, their inward man is renewed day by day by day. In other words, that new creation, the new part of you, is not getting older. When you got born again, you're not aging, you're not decaying. You're maturing spiritually, growing up spiritually, but you're not getting older. You're not getting weaker. You're not, you know, deteriorating. The outward man does. The inward man doesn't. These are supernatural concepts. Natural man doesn't get them. You can't be a natural man to understand this. Jesus told Nicodemus what? You must be born again. Something's got to happen to you. As long as you're from this earth, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. But when you're born of the kingdom of heaven, when you're born of God, then that becomes your home. You're fashioned, you're ready, you're prepared for heaven. You're prepared to go there, to be there. So, I believe in aliens. I believe in alien beings. I believe that there is life outside this planet. I believe that life came to this earth. And that he who believes in the Son of God has life. And that life is an alien life force from our natural native land. And we have that eternal life on the inside of us. Not only do we have that life, but we have intelligence. We have intelligence. Things that this world mocks are the very precious gems and jewels that answer questions that we have, that give us direction for our life. Not only that, but we do have purpose here. We do have assignments. God works in us. He has good works he's ordained us to walk in. We do have a purpose in this earth. He does have a plan for us. And it is something that we can walk out, something that we can know. But of course, again, we live in a world that kind of obviously doesn't understand it. Jesus told us that they wouldn't get it. He said, don't forget, if the world hates you, remember it hated me before it hated you. And they're supposed to. The natural man does not receive the things of God. Their spirits, they're not supposed to. But we are supposed to. We are supposed to embrace them. We are supposed to get understanding. So, praise God. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. I just pray for each one here this morning. I pray, Lord, that wherever we're all at right now, just that your spirit would just encourage each one here, lift each one here, Lord. I just pray, Father, for anybody that doesn't know you, that they will know you, that they will be changed, Father God, that they will experience not something they join or something they do, but something that happens to them on the inside, the experience of being born again, that is simply a result of believing, embracing, receiving you. Thank you, Lord. I pray, too, that as we know you, as we walk in you, that we will grow in you, grow in that intelligence, grow in that understanding. You've given us your word. You've given us your spirit. That there is truth that we get by your spirit, Lord. That truth that just comes intimately by the power of your spirit, that you show us what is true. Not just to be inspired, but to know what's true, Father, that will make us free, cause us to see things. Father, we just thank you, too, for the divine assignments, things you've ordained us to walk in. We really are on a mission from you. Each one of us, we're on a short-term mission trip. We thank you, Lord, that you're with us, you're for us, and that our life so far transcends this natural world. He who believes in you will not perish, but have everlasting life. Our conscious being will go on and on and on in your very presence. That's the gift of eternal life. We thank you for it. Go ahead and make this your declaration if your heart can agree. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for making me new. I'm brand new because of Jesus. I simply believed the gospel, and it changed me. I'm born again, not a natural birth, but a spiritual birth that made me a new creation, that caused the old me to pass away and to become brand new, a child of God. Your spirit lives in my spirit. It shows me things. It shows me that I'm a child of God. It shows me things to come. It bears witness to truth. It reveals to me the things that have been given to me by you. And Heavenly Father, I thank you for your assignment, your plan for my life, good works you've ordained me to walk in, and I will walk in them. Lord Jesus, today is my day. I'm calling on your name. I believe in my heart you died for my sins. My sins were on that cross. I believe it. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe. You love me. I receive that love now. I receive that forgiveness now. I believe you raised Jesus from the dead. And I declare you are my Lord. And I will serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.